in my mind, I want to be able to find an avenue to get paid forever, to place forever cash in something that I can do it, get paid super well to do it, and be able to build this passive income stream, a flow of income that's residual.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. I've got Ava Grossman here with me today. And guess what? The tables have turned. Ava is my right-hand gal here at the office. She insisted upon turning the tables, becoming host, and putting me in the hot seat today, asking a few questions. We've had a few people from the audience email in over a period of really months at this point and going, Neil, tell us a little more about yourself. Go a little deeper into what you're doing. You always talk to these guests and I'm humbled by the reviews. So I thank you about the quality of the questions, which I get opposed from these people. And that's, I started this podcast really so I could extract information and knowledge from a whole bunch of people and apply it to our own business. And Ava said, you know what? We share a little, but not a lot about what you do, what you're up to, and where you're headed. So she said, hey, let's do something fun. Let's turn it. So I'm kind of going to just like hand it over to Ava and prepare for whatever questions she's going to fire at me.
Well, yeah. So we thought we'd turn the tables and hear a little bit from the man behind the curtain. So I've been working with Neil for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things have changed over the time that I've been here. And so I thought it would be great for everyone here, if you haven't heard Neil's story, to hear a little bit about his journey and how we ended up here on this podcast today. So for the benefit of the audience, we all start somewhere. How did you end up in real estate?
Yeah, I was working for Wells Fargo. So I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa, went to school over at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. I played football. That's how I ended up there as an offensive tackle. So ended up there, graduated, came back here to Des Moines, went to work for Wells Fargo, was there a couple of years. And my mom raised myself, my three younger brothers, got to a point where the kids are all out of the house and it was time for her to re-enter the workforce. And so literally, we were talking one day. She goes, I don't know. What do you think I should do? And I thought about it. And I go, you know what? You'd make a really great realtor. You always schlepped me around open houses as a kid. We never moved. And so, you know, you always, every Sunday, it was like, let's go see an open house. And you're really great with people. And she thought about it for literally a few seconds and was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. So fast forward about a year or so, and I'm still working at Wells Fargo. And she's been in real estate about a year. And she's telling me what she made. She made twice as much as what I made working at Wells Fargo. And I was like, you know,
that's
what?
No go.
Yeah. I grew up in a very competitive environment. I've got three brothers, all of us played sports. And so I thought, you know what, if she can do that, I can do better. And so literally that was the pivot point. I was like, I'm going into real estate.
Very nice. So from your entry point as a realtor, you've taken a lot of twists and turns. So sure. Let's start with that arc from going from Wells Fargo to a realtor. What did that transition look like? And where'd you go from there?
Yeah. So I joined a traditional real estate brokerage firm, and I was an agent. And I just worked like heck. You know, very early on, I was like, you know, I don't know what works, so I'm just going to do everything. And that's literally what I did. So literally my first year, I worked 355 days. I became rookie of the year, became the number one. I was in a firm of 700 people. About a year and a half into it, I was number 7 out of 700 people. And 2 years in or so, somewhere in that range, I joined RE/MAX. And just about a year or two later, I ended up buying my own RE/MAX. And when I was 29, I became the number one RE/MAX agent in the state of Iowa.
Wow. That's quite the path, but it surely came at a huge expense to your own personal life.
Yeah, there's no doubt, because when you on that side of things, you can put systems and structures in place. Yes. And then as all of us can either relate to in one way or another, I mean, I was working 7 days a week, 7, 8, 9 PM. I'd still take phone calls. I'd still show houses. Oftentimes you'd work as a realtor. You work when other people aren't working. And then when other people are working, you're still working. So
yep.
It had almost like two jobs. And so it was a year or two later after, you know, I became the number one agent with RE/MAX. I had three kids, and literally, you know, I think I'm doing all this because I'm a family man. I want to be, you know, maybe successful, but then I also want, you know, want to do it with purpose for other people. And so literally I remember coming home one day and my wife of 10 years at that time and our three little kids, she had them all packed up in the car. And she said she was leaving for good. Mm. And I thought to myself, you know, everything I ever cared about was in a car, about ready to go. And it made really, in that instant, recalibrated about, you know, gave deep thought to what in the world am I even doing this for? Because at the end of the day, you know, yeah, you're not going to get a whole bunch of clients showing up to your funeral. Though all you made in impact, it's not that deep of an impact, unfortunately. And so, you know, I pleaded with her to give me a chance to rework things, to read things, to change, right? And so thankfully she agreed. 45 days later, I literally sold my Remax. And went, and it was that time to go and do a deep dive internally and rebuild who I even was with a completely different focus in my, with my lens, completely different focal point for me.
Yeah. Coming out of that kind of recalibration season, yeah, those couple of days, what kinds of questions were you asking yourself? And on the other side of that period, what was your new mission, your new purpose, and how did that change the trajectory of your career?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so much what I was asking myself. I think I had a focus in terms of how I needed to focus or where I needed to focus in terms of what the priorities had to be. How about that? I had the priorities correctly aligned. The bigger challenge was, okay, cool. Now, how do I go perform? I'm accustomed to performing at a high level, to being successful, candidly. And so how do you go just literally selling a Remax, going from like almost zero at that point, I'm starting over to get a new focus and a new priority and now build something anew. And so that's where it was. That was the biggest struggle, is to figure out what in the world should I be doing? What is it going to look like? And so eventually, you know, led me back into real estate on the investment side. Although I still have tinkered, and I don't do it today, but still had tinkered off and on with that of an agent standpoint. I morphed into a broker role in a firm about 6 years ago at this point. And that certainly helped from a control of time, but the investment piece is where I really went down to go, okay, well, I've got some dollars and cents. I've got time. The investment side of the business allows me to control my time in a much better fashion. And so that was my entry point back into it.
Yeah. So talk more about that investment piece. You know, you're in this broker role now, and you have extra time, hopefully some extra money. How are you directing those investments? What was your real entry point into the investment side of things?
Yeah. So, you know, I've done it all at this point, as you well know. So, you know, at that point I had done a handful of fixes and flips over a year, not a lot, but a handful at that point. So I was going, all right, well, let's do more of this. And so I went in, I just started doing more of that. Then I'd learn about all those sorts of things, right? Learn about wholesaling. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like the guy who fixed and flips and then was like, all right, let's wholesale these things off, because I ended up with so many at one time, right? That I had ended up with multiple crews running in multiple places. And then you just ended up with too many deals. I was like, all right, well, let's sell these things off. And then I do wholesales. And then I learn about novations. I do novations. We've done tons of them. And at the end of the day, it all turned out to be, there's a lot of positives there. It's like a lot more work. There's a lot of work associated with that, with running multiple crews. And everybody, if you've run crews before on the fix and flip side, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There can be a lot of headaches there. Eventually, I got to a point where I've connected really well with one crew who's got five or six people. And at this point, they've done, I don't know what the number is, but way over 100 properties for us. And so I was like, all right, cool. Well, let's stop doing some things, because I'm getting to a point where I can quickly see I'm going to become old me if I don't make a change in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So I carved that off, went down to one crew. And then, you know, I thought, you know what you really need? I really need some passive income, right? Everybody talks about passive income. All right, let's get some passive income. So let me buy some single family houses, because that's the obvious next answer for my world of single families. That's all I'm dealing with, single families. Let's get some passive income. And I mean, one thing after another would happen. I mean, it's one, my thing, safe thing. I mean, it's a train wreck after another. turns out that that the ability to find a house, to buy a deal, to go in, remodel it, and sell it in the market, I'm really good at that. That process has actually become very simple for us. The ability to then tenant it correctly and manage it on an ongoing basis correctly, and then manage the, not just the human there, but then the physical stuff that they freaking break, is a whole nother game. And it is a challenge. And it's a challenge that has not gone well for what it is that we do. I mean, passive single family homes are anything but passive. They're not even close. I mean, I've had one thing happen, we go external with property management, and yeah, they spend my money like it's going out of style. Like literally for a toilet's broken, go replace it. $350. Like $350. I would never pay that kind of money when we're doing a remodel. And so then you find yourself like, oh, just send my crew. Well, then I'm going to take away from what my crew is already doing. So that doesn't really work. So literally went through one property manager to another. The other one was twice as bad, just terrible. I'm reporting so bad. The information they provide back, it's just a really super bumpy process. Then I went to a third one, and that is, it's bumpy. We're currently with them, so I'll limit that. It's bumpy. Literally, I don't know if I told you this, but about a month after I made a transition into the third one, they emailed me and said, hey, this property, what's going on with this? They didn't even know they managed a property that I'd given to them that was vacant. A property sat vacant for 5 weeks before they even knew it existed. 5 weeks. The yard was like 2 feet tall. City had notified them. That's why this came onto their radar, because of the yard.
Isn't that just unbelievable?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. We had a water line break at one of the properties. This is a property I bought about, I don't know how many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Paid $42,000 for the property. We probably put 12, 15 into it, out the door tenant, $800 type thing. All right. That all sounds good. The water line breaks running to the house, and the water line breaks in the street of a busy street. This is a busy 4-lane street. Water line breaks underneath the street. And this somehow is my problem, although it's the city. It has to do with where it's connected. $14,000, 14 grand is what it costs to fix that thing. I haven't done the math because I would cry, but it's like 5 years of cash flow. I mean, something ridiculous.
Just down the toilet.
It's gone. Yeah. Gone.
Yeah. There's no way you're getting those dollars back.
Nobody care. You resell a property. It's like a roof. Like, does it have
you
a roof?
You need the water to work.
Yeah. The water just needs to be on. The sewer just needs to be on. Those are just requirements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think, just kind of summarizing what I'm hearing from you, you're finding that those single family homes exponentially increased the amount of work and headaches and problems that you had to deal with. And so that passive income, like you said, was anything but passive. And it just seemed like the more properties you added on the single family side, your problems exponentially increased, and the cost, both in time, money, effort, energy, was astronomical.
Correct. Yes.
So you found yourself in a position where you thought, well, this is a pretty raw deal. I don't like it. What'd you do next?
A few years ago, I got a call from a broker, a commercial broker at one point, and they sent a property over to me on the commercial side, an industrial building, about 18,000 square feet, and said, hey, we got an opportunity. Do you have an interest in buying it? And I reviewed it, and I looked at, if you guys can't tell, I read and devour all sorts of things. If something sounds interesting, I'm going to dig in, learn a little about it, and then we're just going to go do it, and we'll flesh it out and figure out if we can get this to work and to scale and to systematize it, to make it what we do and what we do well. And so on this piece, I was like, you know what, let me dig in. Let me learn some of the information. And so I got in, and what started happening is we all have that little voice in our head, right? So I kept telling myself, you know what? Commercial's not for you. Commercial's for somebody else, somebody better connected, somebody with more money, somebody who cut their teeth in this, grew up in this, somebody who studied this in school. And so I eventually fought through the voices in my head, because the one thing I knew was this: what I was doing was not going to ever get me to where I wanted to go. So something had to change. So at that point, the numbers made sense enough to go, you know what, let's, and when I get in that decisions like that, I often boil it down to this: what's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario is, on this scenario, because the tenant was in this building for a very long time, I probably wouldn't lose any money. If I did, it was negligible. And the best case scenario is I can make money, sure, but then I'm going to learn a lot along the way. And so when I weighed the pros and cons, I was like, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger. So did the deal, like literally like 2-3 months into this, I thought to myself, you know what? I never hear from these people. And I was the property manager. So single tenant building, I never heard from these people. And I thought, do you know what? This might be like the golden, you know, the yellow brick road. This is the pot at the end of the rainbow. I was going, this is interesting. Okay. So let's go down this path a little further. So that's when I started really deep diving into this and digging deep, you know, about a year later, about another property that was commercial property, a retail strip mall, pretty, you know, like 10, 11 tenants in the thing, bought it with a seller finance piece in it. And actually we just came full circle on this, meaning, you know, we went in and made some improvements to the expense side of the equation there and just came full circle and sold it at a tremendous amount of money and made more in one transaction I've ever made on any transaction, not even close, 2.5 years later. So we just closed that here 90 days ago, plus or minus. Yeah. So that's what led me down the path of commercial to find time and money freedom. Mm.
It sounds like you were able to translate a lot of the skills, though, that you had learned and acquired in the single family side. And once you were able to kind of win the battle against those thoughts in your head to say, you know what, I actually already have more of the knowledge than I feel like I have, and I can apply that to these new scenarios in a way that's going to set me on a better path to achieve the goals that I actually want.
Have you been to the vault? RealGritVault.com. Listen, we've got multiple guests who come on and oftentimes they bring us little tips, tricks, tools, scripts, Excel calculators, a multitude of things, and they share it. They share it for you. You can get them totally free, totally free. RealGritVault.com. Never been on the show who's brought everything. It's all behind the vault. Get it. RealGritVault.com. Yeah. We're always afraid, us as humans, we're afraid of what we cannot see, right? Well, so meaning what we don't know, right? What's on the other side of that wall is scary to us. And so, you know, when I'm sitting there in that position, not doing something for the first time, it was scary. I didn't know what I was getting into exactly. And then when I did one and did two and then did three and then four, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this most 95% of what I do, I already knew how to do. I just rearrange the order in which I do them. And the 5%, I just go learn, ask the questions. And there's resources. There's just a formula out there to be able to get it, to be able to achieve that. And it's so much easier than what I ever thought, you know, on the other side going, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. And it, you know, from the outside looking in, there is so much available for people to learn about investing in single family homes. The step to an entry point into single family homes seems pretty manageable. There's a lot available for people to learn on their own, but commercial real estate, it seems like there's this barrier, there's Wall Street, there's institutional investors, there's a whole different mentality around commercial real estate that can be very difficult to overcome.
Well, you think everybody, all of us grew up living somewhere. We all lived in a house, we all lived in an apartment, we all lived in a town, we all lived, generally speaking, in a bedroom with a kitchen and there's a bathroom. We all lived in these places. And all we're talking about on the single family side is buying those places, which all of us are accustomed to our whole lives. Almost none of us grew up cutting our teeth in anything commercial, right? So it's automatically different. And as a result of that, that's why I think there's so many resources on the single family side, because it's just all of us have a baseline experience. Whether you bought a property or not, you already know something about it. Versus the commercial side, I agree with what you just said. There's a barrier there. And it's almost, the further we get into it, it's almost like there has been a built up good old boys network of what that looks like and what one has to learn. And I think it's most of it's a facade. That's just the appearance from the outside. But when you get in, you're going, there is so much room to be able to take advantage of this, and so much room for any player to be able to come in and operate, big or small. Every city and every state in our entire country is huge. It's flush with opportunities out there.
Yeah. And maybe just talk a little bit about, okay, so you got that first commercial deal under your belt, the next, you know, two or three on top of that. Once you got to the position where you said, actually, I think I can do this, where did that mental and financial switch, where did that leave you on the other side of doing those first couple of commercial deals?
It's a good question. You know, think back to fix and flip, wholesale, hotel, novation, they're just, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. It's just a job. There's no way around it. It's a job. There's no pass. You get paid one time. Now, it's a well-paid job if you do it correctly. Very well-paid job. So I'm not knocking that piece, but it's a job. And so in my mind, it was going, I want to be able to find an avenue to get paid forever, to place forever cash in something that I can do it, get paid super well to do it, and be able to build this passive income stream, a flow of income that resonates, you know, that's residual. You know, and the hope was, of course, it'd work on the single family side. It didn't. And I don't know the number, you may know, but we bought dozens and dozens and dozens of rental properties. And we got a lot. And so going down this path has allowed me to find really good deals on the way in, appropriately finance it on the way in when done correctly, right? When we follow our strategy, and then be able to have cash flow, this thing rolling in. So, I mean, at this point, you know, I've been able to find, because we're selected, because we've got a strategy behind this, really good deals that just produce tremendous returns. And so 3.5 years later, after I bought the first one, I became financially free solely off of commercial property, solely off the income of commercial property, nothing, any of the other avenues, not the single families, not anything else, solely off commercial.
Yeah. And I think that for you, just because I know you, that was the thing that all of those other jobs were trying to get you to the point of that financial freedom. Your time as a realtor, as a broker, as a wholesaler, rehabber, all of those things were activities to try to answer that question for you. And they didn't provide the answer that you needed, but it really was commercial real estate that kind of unlocked your time and your financial freedom so that you could then really achieve what you were looking and seeking after in the first place.
Right. You know, all those things were the thing to get me to the thing, right? So oftentimes for folks out there doing whatever it is they're doing, they're going, yeah, you know, this is good. I like this. You maybe even love it, but is it the absolute, you know, is it the end all be all for you? And if it is, terrific, you found it. And if not, just having that lens, having that attitude to go, you know what, this is the thing that's going to get me to the thing. And whatever the next thing is coming, you know, it's just a function of, for me, it was keeping my eyes open, keeping myself open for opportunity to, and then not just jumping at anything, because I get presented with all sorts of stuff. It's literally just keep my eyes open and then being critical and thought to go, all right, well, let's step a toe in there. Let's go down that path a little. And Ava, as you know, it has been, for me, it's our forever, the forever cash path, our forever investment. So we still fix and flip today. It's become it's our bread and butter of what we do, because we've got that system dialed in so well for us, literally just down to one crew that does it exceptionally well. So we've dialed, and that's our key for us, is get that process dialed in. And so money rolls off and rolls up into the commercial side, where we're able to place that and get these things to cash flow and continue, you know, go back to your earlier question. For me, it's been a shift in focus away from single families in other alternative exit strategies or other strategies in single family to go, all right, let's focus in on this. Let's go down this commercial path, because it has been so rewarding, both in money, yes, but in time. Time, the only probably the thing I value more than money, is the only non-renewable resource we have as humans, time. Mm,
time. And talk a little bit about what you've been able to do now that you have additional time and your passion for teaching other people about how they can achieve the very same thing that you did without having to quite make all of the same mistakes along the way.
Yeah. So, you know, what I would, as you guys know, because I host a podcast and I'm involved in a whole bunch of things nationally, I plug into a whole bunch of groups and connect with people all over the country, travel a fair bit, talking and speaking with other people in real estate circles. And so I'd share exactly what I just shared with Ava. And they go, dude, that's awesome. Will you show me how to do that? Show me what you're doing. Let me stack one property on what I'm currently doing. And so, you know, I would share with people over a period of time. They're going, you know what, you should share this with other folks. And so that's what's grown out of really this year and sharing with other people is what I'm doing to share this with other folks. And so to do that, I've created a 5-day challenge, what we call our 20X profit challenge, 20X profit challenge. And for those, it's not cheeky in the sense that I'm not trying to be, you know, twice Grant Cardone with 20X. It's this: you can either do one commercial property or you can do 20 houses, So that's where the 20X comes from, is that we can really just scale what we're doing and focus by earning more by doing less, actually. It's a five-day challenge where over the course of 5 days, I show people how many properties that actually becomes become financially free. I show them what I call the $100,000 seller avatar, how to find sellers, because it's not exactly the same as it is in single family. I show them an easy, quick, what we call our capital multiplier quadrant, quick, easy tool for easy decisions. So when people call in, you know, you're getting leads. People call in, what information do you just need? A few pieces of information to sift and sort out a potential opportunity from one you just pass on. Then we've got this easy eval form. I showed how to price it up. How do you decide what to pay for a property? And then what paperwork to actually use for a property? So over the course of 5 days, whether they know something or nothing about commercial real estate, I can get them to a point where they can literally know how to reach out, talk to somebody in whatever asset class they choose. And we go through that little exercise to help them narrow down that piece that's best for them, all the way to the point where they can price it up and put it under contract.
Yeah. And we've seen some great results already from people who went through the challenge, people already making offers and doing the work that they need to do in order to get to that financial freedom number. And beyond that, we've built a lot of great relationships with people through your network, through the challenge, and talk a little bit about how we can actually partner with people on these deals.
Yeah. So on occasion, I like partnering with people. I like buying deals. So unlike a whole bunch of gurus who are out there just teaching stuff and selling stuff, and that's how they make their living. You know, I make my living doing deals, and that's my passion, to do deals so we can buy a property, get it cash flowing so I can live off the cash flow. So I don't have to work as hard tomorrow as I do today. And that's exactly what we ended up doing. As Ava said, we partnered, and you know, I just bought a property. It's been about a month ago or so. Bought a property, a self-storage unit out of Indianapolis with a partner. He and I came together. We actually connected through podcasting of all places. And, you know, I love the deal so much. I end up funding the deal and we end up being partners on the deal. And so there's opportunities there as well. So I show people, you know, how they can do it, how they can go alone. You want to carve your own path. Different people have different skill sets and experience. So for some people, you know, I can give them the tools to be able to go down that path and do it all themselves. Great. And for other people, you know, they want to figure out how to do it and not use their own cash or not use their own credit or either one. And so we provide an option there as well.
And what from the people in the challenge, just talk a little bit about their experience and how this has kind of opened their eyes to leverage their time better, their resources better, so that they can use the tools that you've given them to really unlock the freedom that they're looking for.
Yeah. So, you know, we've done two challenges at this point, one in July and one in August. And now we have one coming up here in September. You know, the idea was when we went out to this, I'm going, I have no idea if people are going to like this. They're not going to like it. They may hate it. That's why I didn't even mention it on the podcast. I'm like, let's try it out with some folks. We ended up literally hundreds of people signed up. And I mean, just the feedback and the people who went through that. And then even in August, then even more people. And I think what's resonating, the feedback that I get from folks is they want passive income. They want to find a way to not have to do this business forever. They want to find, you know, a lot of people are very successful. So they want to find a way to stack on to what they're currently doing, what's already working in their business. You know, I will never discourage you from stacking something on. You know, a lot of people are going, maybe I'll just quit what I'm doing and go do this. I'm like, that's a terrible idea. You want to add on to what you're doing because it doesn't take that much time to add this on. Don't quit something that's already successful for you. Just bolt this on top and have a goal. Maybe the goal is, you know, I want to buy one property in the next year. That's a great goal. It's very accomplishable too. So the feedback I'm getting is, you know, a lot of people are successful doing a whole bunch of things, whatever it is they're doing in real estate, they're not quite there yet. Meaning they want to find a way to find that forever cash, to find something that is more significant, to find a way to have the choice, the freedom of choice at some point to not work as hard or as much doing what they're currently doing.
Yeah, and I think the amazing thing that I've really noticed is for a lot of people, it's not just about, and it's not even solely about accumulating cash. All of it is for the result of the result. People have really great ambitions to support their community, retire a spouse, you know, donate to charities. There's a lot of ways that investing in commercial real estate enables you to leave a legacy that impacts so many people. And it's really not about, it's really not at the end of the day about the dollars. It's about employing that money in the service of those goals that leave a legacy impact on other people.
Dollars are meaningless. It is about what you do with the time and the money, how you employ those dollars. Dollars sitting still mean nothing. It is what you do with that. How do you go impact somebody? How do you make in what you said? It's the results of the result. So when we get to financial freedom, and that's my goal when I help people, is to get them to a spot of financial freedom as fast as we can. Because when you can achieve financial freedom, it's not just about the dollars. It's all of a sudden, you now end up with a whole ton of time. Time that you can breathe to go, you know what? Now that I don't have to go do that, it's just so I can live my properties, you know, what I like to say, you know, I work for assets and my assets work for me. That's the goal, is we employ our time to work for the assets and put the assets to work for us so that we can live a life on our of our choosing. So what does that look like? Living a life on your choosing. If you don't have to go to work anymore for the dollars, you did the work once and now you get paid forever. What does that look like? How do you get to live differently? That is tremendous impact. That's what I get excited about. Yes, I get to help people and make money together. That's great, because it's got to be that keeps me chugging along. But the impact at the end of the day that we're going to make in other people's lives, they get to in turn make in their family's lives and their community lives. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. I think commercial real estate has specifically for you really allowed you kind of climb up that ladder, get your head through the clouds, and then be able to say, who else is behind me that I can help get them up here as well, so that they can have the same sort of impact that I've been able to have.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's what we're doing through the challenges, is just helping folks, showing them that way. You know, that thing's totally free. Maybe I didn't mention that, but it's free. Literally just showing people exactly what we do is exactly what we do. Same, you know, on the fifth day, I literally give you the paperwork we use to put properties under contract. So I just give it all away so you guys can see exactly what that looks like.
For those who are curious, want to learn more, what should they do?
www.20xprofitchallenge.com.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else that we didn't
think you're such today? You're such a good host. Yeah. No, I think you may take my job one of these days here as Real Grit podcast host. this was fun. It was different turning the tables here. So it was really good. And I appreciate you guys from a listening standpoint. We have unbelievably multiplied. I don't know how many times over, but a whole lot, our listenership. And so, you know, I'm indebted to you. Really appreciate everything. You know, all your guys' feedback. We're coming up, Ava, we're nearing 100 five-star reviews on Apple. Awesome. At this point. We're getting there. I think we'll have it done in the next month or so. And so, you know, if you like the show, give us some feedback, leave us a review, leave us a five-star review if we've earned it. And if you have any feedback where we fall short, you know, send us an email. I'd love to hear that too, because we're here to create and have really quality guests on. I'm sorry, I fell short if I did.
You were great.
That really quality guests on to really move the needle in your guys' world. And we're appreciative of you guys as listeners. And this is fun. So the challenge rolls out. Our last one for the year is September 19th, Monday the 19th. And so get signed up there. It's totally free. And you can find the links in the show notes below. Cool. Ava, thanks so much.
Thank you. It was fun to play host for one day. And I think I might have to retire now.
There you go. Going out on top.
Yep.
Well, I'll close it out. For everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding that real estate requires real grit. See you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must-answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.